Happy New Year to all our brothers and sisters of the Jewish faith. Apparently, Mikey B is not of the faith, or he doesn't practice faith because he's at work, and we could park wherever we want today.
I do practice.
Do you do?
Yeah, I do.
We know what you practice. Anyway, Happy New Year. The rest of us, we got to wait a few more months, right, for our New Year?
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah. But you practice, Mike, but it's not a huge part of here. I mean, if it was, you wouldn't be
here. What do you practice?
Today, right?
Last night, celebrated a couple prayers. And apples and honey to bring in the new year.
So yeah, kind of,
so apples and honey,
correct,
is what you have for New Year's. Now I confused our colleague Evan yesterday when talking about New Year's. I went and wished our boss Eric Spitz Happy New Year, and I asked, "You gonna have black eyed peas? Because that's what the brothers have, black eyed peas." And Evan acted like he'd never heard of black eyed peas.
That guy is so sheltered. Does a talk show next door, WFN in New York, does middays. He just doesn't have any life experiences outside of sports.
You experience food. Who's not ever heard of black eyed peas?
Yeah, but I'm telling you, he's just a weird guy.
Yeah. I'm a moron.
Yeah.
I believe it now. Yes.
So he's just
black eyed peas, dudes, for good luck on New Year's.
It doesn't. I mean, the fact that there's a musical group that is world famous.
He brought that up.
He still doesn't know. what did he think that they just made that up?
Yeah, he thought that they were going to come over to the house or something and dance a jig. No, man, you eat black-eyed peas. Well, at least we of the color faith.
Wait, what?
Yes.
The colored faith? Wait a second. Is there something you need to tell me here?
No.
What are you talking about?
We have black eyed peas.
Okay, right.
For good luck. That's been working out too well.
I guess not. Oh, man. I can't believe you just... We of the colored faith.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, so let's talk some NFL football. This is something I've been screaming about for a while, but I'm really happy when players call out the NFL for its hypocrisy. I think I think it's great. It makes me smile every single time. And the NFL tries to pretend that gambling does not exist in its league for some reason I cannot figure out.
Yeah.
This integrity of the game thing, maybe they're afraid that if some of that stuff creeps in that people are going to freak out. But the success of the league, I will say about 50% of it, if not more, is based on people wanting to put money on it in some way, shape, or form. Fantasy football, gambling, all of the things that people do when it comes to football, but they shy away from it. They pretend it's not a thing. We saw how ridiculous it gets with the Pittsburgh Steelers celebrating in the end zone. If they were rolling dice like they were at a casino, it's a bad thing. But if they're rolling dice like they're playing Yahtzee at a dinner party, then everything's okay. It's a bunch of bullcrap. So Richard Sherman knows it's a bunch of bullcrap too. And yesterday when he was meeting with the media, he said that injury reports, we know what that's for.
From what I understand, the rule is for the gamblers. You know, for Vegas to make sure that the odds and everything are what they're supposed to be, which is apparently what the league is concerned about when talking about injuries and things like that. So maybe somebody should look into that, because I thought we weren't a gambling league and we were against all those things. But our injury report is specifically to make sure the gamblers get their odds right. So, I mean, that's
fantasy football.
Yeah. Oh, my God. they're almost as bad as the gamblers.
Yeah, it's the same thing to me. You lump it all together into one. Do you think that, and it's never going to go away because there's so much money around making these odds, and you think about if there's injuries and inside information that's getting out and affecting gambling, it's never going to happen. It's not going to go away. But do you believe, let's say you weren't allowed to bet on football at all, do you think there would still be an injury report for competitive balance in the NFL?
If
gambling was not in the equation, it wasn't even a thing in our society, would this injury report exist for the teams to be able to prepare for one another? Because that's what the NFL is going to say to you.
Right, that's what they tell you. And I'm going to say it wouldn't exist. And they wouldn't be as heavy-handed in forcing teams to list players who are questionable, who are probable, and who are out. So, no, it wouldn't exist. And his theory here is right on point. There's a research paper someone did there at UNLV. You got the Raiders going there. If you're so concerned about gambling, why would you place or allow a franchise to move to Las Vegas, capital of gambling? And yet the NFL has no answer for that other than, well, our policy will still be in place where we won't allow our players to gamble on NFL games. Duh, we understand that, but you also don't allow them to enter into casinos at the behest of the owners, and you don't allow them to participate in any charity events. Tony Romo was denied that ability to do that a couple years ago. So they are hypocritical because this is all about letting those out there who do gamble know, okay, this guy may not play, therefore you don't have to go and try to compromise someone who's affiliated with the league, whether it's a player, whether it's a league official, what have you, and try to get some inside information. That's basically what they're trying to stay away from. And so that's why this injury report exists, because you show up on a particular Sunday, you expect someone to be there. If they're not there, okay, that doesn't mean necessarily now I have the upper hand. It depends on the player, of course, but you play who's out there. If you're the player, you're not so concerned throughout the week who's going to play, who's not, for the most part.
Yeah, and generally, when a guy is questionable or a game-time decision, it's a big player, let's say it's a quarterback and the backup stinks, you prepare for the good quarterback. And if the backup plays, then good for you.
Right.
Then you have someone who's not as talented.
Yeah.
It's never usually, oh my goodness, I can't believe that this guy is playing. You usually prepare, unless someone is ruled out and then all of a sudden is there. But you're never really caught off guard in a sense where it's going to sway the competitive balance so much that one team feels like it was unfair because they didn't know about an injury.
Unless a guy has a different skill set. And I mean, if it's totally removed from what the starter was capable of doing, I mean, that can cause some
confusion.
You don't
see a lot of that, though.
Right, you don't. Exactly.
Because the backup quarterback, and let's just use that one as the best example, is running the same plays as the other quarterback.
Yep.
If anything, they're paring down the playbook to make it easier for the guy, and it's not as complicated.
You don't have as much time to get that guy ready as you have normally for your starter.
So that leads us right back to Richard Sherman being absolutely right. I mean, the guy's right, and I don't know why the NFL just doesn't embrace it. And they really should reconsider embracing it right now because they're going to have a team in Vegas. What are you afraid of when you consider not acknowledging gambling is a big part of your sport? What exactly are you afraid of? Because to me, it makes more red flags go off and alarms go off in my head that you're hiding from gambling than if you were out in the open about it. I mean, the NBA, for crying out loud, actually had a dirty official. And that league embraces gambling more is out front about it and is a part of it and makes me feel better about the game than the NFL because they're acting like it doesn't exist. They do so many things that just don't make any sense to me. Player discipline, the gambling policy, the fact that they put a team in Vegas but a player can't do a personal appearance in a casino. That world that the NFL has created there on Park Avenue is a bizarre place.
Bizarro world.
And I don't think that they have any sort of self-awareness as to what anybody else thinks of them. They're very concerned with the PR, but I don't think they ever get the messages.
Well, it's common sense. And who are you trying to fool? Because we're not fooled. And you're not fooling anyone. We understand why you force these teams to disclose who is hurt, who is nicked up. And in Richard Sherman's case, he's been on the injured list all season. And he hasn't missed a game ever in his career. So what purpose does it serve other than to make sure no one's being compromised behind the scenes? Just come out and say that. Why can't you? I mean, I don't know why that they're so scared of the G word. Come on.
Yeah.
We know it exists. It's there, front and center. You have a team there in Las Vegas. Don't be scared.
Yeah.
Just admit it.
Right. It's okay that people gamble.
First step to recovery is just admitting it.
And most of the people that are watching have some sort of action on a game. You know, I'll admit if it weren't for fantasy football getting into it as much as I have, I mean, the NFL is not as interesting to me. I mean, there were games, and think about it. I mean, this is a conversation that's been had millions of times, but you think about that Saints-Patriots game in the fourth quarter on Sunday. It wasn't a game. The Saints didn't have a shot in coming back in that game. But I sat there, and I watched the damn thing. Why? Because on DraftKings, I had Tom Brady, Brandon Cooks, and Chris Hogan. That's why.
Yeah, and fantasy football has helped elevate this league to a place it hasn't enjoyed before. It's been popular, but not like this. And we say it all the time. You got people who ordinarily wouldn't watch the NFL who are watching it for fantasy purposes. I sat next to a guy in a bar, Urban Kohlhaas, Saturday, watching all the college games, the late college games, and this guy was screaming and yelling at television, saying, "Who are you pulling for?" He's like, "I'm not really pulling for SC. I didn't go there. I didn't go to school." The question was, did he go there? Because I was yelling and screaming, too, for my Longhorns. "Yeah, I went to school there. Did you go to USC?" "No, I just got some action on it."
Yeah.
So the same thing's going on at the collegiate level, but yet I don't see colleges putting out an injury list from week to week.
Interesting. Yeah.
They're not compelled to do that. That you were waiting game day to see if Shane Buechele would start, Sam Ellinger would start. Of course, it was Ellinger for the Longhorns, and he may start again this week. We don't know. You've got the big Georgia-Mississippi State game this weekend. Is Jake Fromm, who started the last two ball games, is he going to be the starter now that Jacob Eason is back at practice, or will he get his starting gig back? We don't know. We will find out Saturday. You know, they're not compelled to put out an injury list.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder, but people still, of course, bet on college football
a ton. Big time.
But there's ways you can get the information. You can read what the coach says about it, the beat writers, the practice reports, right? A guy practices, doesn't practice.
Well, Easton is practicing, but there's still no decision on whether or not he's going to get his starting job back. But my point is the college teams aren't compelled to issue a week-to-week injury list.
Yeah, and coaches will hide it like crazy.
Yes. You know from your sideline days. I know from my days of being on the sideline, the HIPAA laws and all that, you're not allowed to divulge certain information.
As much as I enjoy playing fantasy football, I would never ask a player about it. Never, never, never. It's just ridiculous. These guys want to go out there and win. Their motivation is totally different from my motivation. And this reporter just, to me, crossed the line when talking to David Johnson of the Arizona Cardinals.
Worry about all those fantasy players that are really
that's the last thing. Fantasy is the last thing on my mind right now.
I mean, even if he's joking, don't even.
Wow.
The guy just went through a huge surgery. He's going to be out for the whole season. Probably demoralized. Good for David Johnson laughing it off.
Mm-hmm.
But don't even bring it up. It's ridiculous. And I listen, fantasy football, I love it. I enjoy it. Season-long leagues, daily stuff. But, I mean, to sit there and even. The guy's in a cast. He's tweeting out pictures of him and his family in the hospital. And you're going to ask him about schmucks who have David Johnson and fan. How do you do it? I would have punched that guy in the face with my good hand.
I would have gone old Brian Kelly on him.
Yeah.
Or Nick Saban. That was a
ridiculous that was the time it was warranted,
right,
for sure.
I would agree.
Like,
you think I'm worried about them fantasy?
That was just under anesthesia like 24 hours ago. You're asking me about the fantasy football stuff.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, Mr. Reporter?
Right. All right, coming up next, we got a couple of big hip-hop stories.
Huge.
We've been working together too long. That's what happens.
We've got to end this, dog, right?
Yeah,
now.
I know. Just, yeah, we'll come back. It's going to be Bisegli and Bilotti and Bogus, the Killer Bees. and we're leaving. This is just
not the Dolphins Killer Bees, different version. Yeah. Not as menacing.
We're coming right back.
Fantasy Football Today, Sunday mornings at 11 Eastern on CBS Sports Radio.
Andrew Bogus is here with an update. After that update, we've got hip-hop updates. Might blow you away. Good morning, Bogus.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Brian. So the Rockies lost in the afternoon. The Cubs fell 8-1 in Tampa Bay at night, but the Brewers could not take advantage.
Moroff not going, the 1-1, and a swing and a fly ball hit out to right, and deep, and this one is out of here! Adam Frazier! It's a walk-off home run!
Joe Block on Pirates Radio. Adam Frazier stunning all-star closer Corey Knebel and the Brewers 6-4. Knebel had allowed just one run over the previous 2 months. It happened. Says manager Craig Counsell.
He's been so good. You know, the other team's trying to get him. We haven't seen guys get him very often. I mean, the guy's good. Frazier's an excellent hitter, a tough hitter. And he got a good fastball, and he hit it.
The loss keeps the Brewers one game behind the Rockies for the second NL wild card and 3.5 behind the Cubs for first in the Central. But Milwaukee hosts Chicago for four games starting tonight. Arizona outscored San Diego 13-7 to snap a four-game skid. The Reds a 9-2 win in Cincinnati, and the Dodgers lost their fourth straight 7-5 in Philly. The Red Sox in the playoffs after a 9-0 win in Baltimore, and the Angels 6-5 home loss to Cleveland. Boston ace Chris Sale K'd 13-8 to become the first AL pitcher with 300 Ks since Pedro Martinez in 1999. The Rangers scored 7 in the fourth to win 8-6 in Seattle. The Royals pounded the Jays 15-5, and the Astros got by the White Sox 4-3 for their sixth straight win. It is Thursday Night Football. It's the Rams and the Niners, and it's not on CBS. Teenaged L.A. coach Sean McVay handling the short week for the first time.
What you love about the NFL is you can't dwell on a win or a loss too long. It's got to be that next up mindset and mentality, and that's what our team has right now.
The Rams lost to McVay's old friends from Washington Sunday. The Niners are 0-2. They have yet to score a touchdown this season. Kickoff in Santa Clara is at 8:25 Eastern. It appears Jerry Jones' attempt to derail Roger Goodell's extension have failed. The new contract for the commissioner reportedly being finalized now after a conference call yesterday with the owner's compensation committee. The New York Daily News says Carmelo Anthony's camp is cautiously optimistic. Melo will get traded by Monday, and longtime University of Oklahoma president David Boren is retiring after this school year. The former U.S. senator has had that job for 23 years. Boys?
All right, thanks, Bogus. So reports out there that the NFL trying to figure out who's going to do the halftime show of the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And they reached out to Jay-Z, and Jay-Z turned him down. Now, I don't know if Jay-Z would be the right choice anyway. It's got to be, I've always felt, it's got to be a performer, like someone who dances and all sorts of stuff. And Jay-Z...
That's why Adele turned it down. She said, I'm not a dancer.
Right. It needs to be more of a spectacular thing. And if I'm Jay-Z, I'm probably turning it down too, because it's more about the glitz and the in-your-face stuff and Jay-Z and his last album and the mm-hmm. things he's been talking about are serious to him and the lyrics are supposed to be absorbed as opposed to tossed away because there's a bunch of kids with little signs in front of him waving them around. So it's just not the right spot
for
him.
But if the performer can get you to dance and he's going to have... does he really... I'm trying to remember. Recall seeing him perform and whether there were dancers up there. Not really.
No.
But if he can get you to move your moneymaker, that helps.
I guess, but you got to think about all the people that are sitting around filled with dip and nachos and beer that are watching this on TV that are not dancing in their houses mm-hmm. that want to be entertained by something, like the Bruno Mars performance, like Lady Gaga's yeah. performance. Hey, Jay-Z's an all-time great. And the guy's amazing. Mm-hmm. But in that spot, his message is lost in all of that. It's about a lot of bubble gum. It's about the fluff. And he's not about that.
Right.
So if that is true, that he turned it down, I certainly don't
blame. And once again, the NFL PR machine is in full force. We can't confirm or deny that he was formally offered to perform at the Super Bowl. And really, just say no.
Yeah,
he turned it down. What's wrong with that? Okay, he turned us down.
Yeah.
On to the next one.
I don't know.
At the appropriate time, we will.
I know. It's not that big of a deal, right?
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
No, it's really not that big of a deal.
Okay, duh.
Right. Be like, yeah, I don't know. We'll let you know when we got somebody, okay?
That's it.
Yep. We're still working on Ezekiel Elliott over here. So if you got something on that, we're happy to talk to you about it. But this, not so much. All right, so there is a documentary happening on some network. I don't know what it is. This clip you're going to hear is from TMZ. But there's a documentary that Soledad O'Brien, who you might know from
yes.
HBO's Real Sports, and Ice-T are doing. And it's
okay.
Who Killed Biggie and Tupac?
Ooh.
Which is a question. This is a fair question.
Right.
Because these are two unsolved murders that people have just basically forgotten about. I mean, we kind of have an idea what faction was responsible for these things, but you never really got an answer. It just is a bizarre deal. And no one seems to be clamoring for those answers.
Right.
The narrative always became, well, it's the East Coast, West Coast thing, and that's what killed these two. But there's still someone who pulled the trigger in each one of these situations that could be walking around free right now. So I do like the fact they're trying to get to the bottom of this. So in their investigation, Soledad O'Brien and Ice-T, what a juxtaposition of names there, right? Soledad O'Brien and Ice-T on CBS Sports Radio.
That's like Ashford and Simpson.
So you got these two who call up Suge Knight, and Suge Knight's in jail for running over and killing a guy.
Oh, what an idiot.
I mean, the guy is just really brutal. So anyway, he's in jail, so they have him on the phone. And then he says this, which gets everybody all fired up.
Would Pac die if he really did? You know?
If he really died, what do you mean by that?
I mean, when I left that hospital, me and Pac was laughing and joking. So I don't see how somebody can turn from doing well to doing bad.
So you seriously think that he might still be alive?
I'm going to tell you this, Pac, you never know.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, he's got a point, man.
Oh.
He's got a point.
Yeah, he's just hanging out. We're in the Terror Dome somewhere.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
You can't go from laughing and joking, leaving a hospital, to dead. We all know this.
Is he in witness protection program or something? What? Come on.
Yeah.
That's idiotic.
I mean, do we even need to say why this is ridiculous?
Oh, stupid.
I mean, I think if you're Tupac, too, there's no reason to disappear. I mean, you were having a tremendous life. You liked to get your message out there. You were someone who was always trying to get people to listen to you and what you had to say. There's no reason to disappear. If there's any of those guys you really think there's a shot of being alive, everybody says it's alive. So, like Elvis, people have talked about Elvis being alive still. Tupac's another one. Andy Kaufman, people thought, faked his death because he was someone who would do something like that. I would say, he had cancer. It was tragic. And there were people who thought he was faking it, which was crazy to think about. But if any of those three, I would say, if it just popped up out of nowhere, I'd say it would be Andy Kaufman, because that would be like his ultimate bit. Like, yeah, I've been alive for the last 30 years, and here I am. But, I mean, I don't know why people insist on holding on to stuff like this. Like, I mean, really.
What purpose does it serve for Suge Knight? None whatsoever. And then I was just reading the other day, Suge Knight disclosed who he thinks killed Biggie. So Biggie's dead, but Tupac's still alive. He disclosed who he thought killed Biggie, and he disclosed who he thought was the responsible for the murder of Tupac. And it was a former security guard and the security guard's wife for his death row label.
Yeah.
So now he's saying Tupac is alive.
Well,
okay, you can't have it both ways, homie. Which one is it?
Yeah, I think that he's just in jail for a long time, and he's a bad dude, and someone was on the phone, and he was having fun. That's what I think it was. Nothing more than that.
That's it.
That's
playing Soledad and Ice-T.
Yeah. Well, Ice-T seemed excited about it. Like, it was almost like Ice-T wanted to hear that from Suge Knight.
Mm.
Like, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
I told you, Soledad.
Ice-T.
Me?
Ice-T's been in the game forever, man. I was a freshman at UCLA, and he'd come perform in middle of campus, and I couldn't make it to class.
There you go.
It's his fault.
Ice-T's had a great career.
Yeah. From rapper, gangster rap to television, movies.
Didn't we have an argument about this, though, about who had a better career, Ice-T or Ice Cube?
No. That's
I think
that's
we did.
No argument. Ice Cube.
Yeah, it's Ice Cube. But you said Ice-T back in the day.
We did have this argument.
Yeah.
You guys had this argument.
I did not say Ice-T.
I'm telling you, man.
I did not.
We did.
Ice Cube, that's not even close.
I know, that's what I was saying. I wish we could find this.
I wish you might... could, too, because you like to put stuff in my mouth.
Wait a second.
Words
that was just
in my mouth.
That was just one time, all right? So, no, but I bet you we could find it, because we did a poll. So if
it's not even close.
I know that. Trust me.
If it's not even close, I would say Ice-T.
I can't wait till we find this audio, because you are going to be floored. We will find it.
Okay.
We will find it, Brian Jones.
Yeah.
I like that shirt, by the way, man.
Thank you.
That's cool.
Too.
They send that in the mail?
First time I've worn it.
Will they mail that to you?
They did mail it to me.
It's an NFL alumni T-shirt.
Yeah.
And it's got 50 years.
50 years?
67 to 2017. You got another one? They send you a couple?
No, just one.
All right.
You want one?
That'd be great if I walked around NFL alumni. Think people would believe me?
Yeah. Why wouldn't they?
Because I'm horribly out of shape.
Look at Sean King.
Don't look. Yeah. But he still probably looks like he could have done something athletically.
No, he does not. No.
No, you don't think so?
No, I was with him in January.
Really?
No. Nope.
Still terrible?
Doesn't look like he just doesn't do anything but eat.
Doesn't care. Do you have a conversation with him about, you know, not so healthy here, Sean? Or do you just bust the chops?
I just bust the chops.
Yeah.
Damn. You're getting big, dog. Bigger.
You ever consider, hey, getting up there in age now, I've had friends.
Yeah, you have that conversation with certain folks. Yeah.
When do you get? When does Sean reach into that category?
Maybe next time I see him.
Yeah.
See how he's doing.
I'm about 75-80%.
Yeah. Right.
Full. Completely full to capacity. 75-80% of the biggest you could possibly be. All right. There's another story out there that I'm so happy didn't happen. Kobe Bryant almost released a rap album. And I'm just thrilled that that didn't happen.
Why not?
Because I loved Kobe, and you know it's not going to be good. There's very few guys that can do that well. And Kobe just is not, he's just not one of those guys.
You can look at him and from hearing his press conferences and seeing his documentary, you could just tell you're not going to be a good rapper.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I mean, unless he does it in different languages because he's...
Now, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
because he speaks about 8 of them.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. And I never understand why people want to preserve legacies of players and coaches. I never understood that for themselves. Like, I don't... Like, the Paterno people would freak me out, but... There's something about me and Kobe Bryant that I want to make sure that his legacy stays intact.
How would this ruin it?
Because it's going to be terrible. I'm telling you,
Focus more on that, on the lengthy 20-year NBA career?
I wouldn't focus more on it. It's just not helping. It's not helping. Like the whole thing where he got hurt towards the end of his career and he was posting Twitter videos every night and he was like a 13-year-old girl pouring his heart out on YouTube. It was just too much for me. Come on, Kobe. You got to rise above that stuff. You're Kobe Bryant. We already took a big hit with the Colorado thing. That was terrible. So you don't need any more. We don't need any more of this stuff, man. Just ride out into the sunset, be Kobe bleeping Bryant, and don't do anything stupid.
Okay.
You know?
There you go. Preserving Kobe's legacy.
I'm concerned about this. I want to work for him.
I want to hear the rap album.
No, you don't. No.
I do. See if he has skills or not.
He doesn't. You know he doesn't. He can't possibly.
Why not?
He's rich and bored. That's why. He just can't.
This is from back in the day.
Still, doesn't matter. Still rich and bored. Probably off season. you can't mess
around. Boy was upset, man. I laid down all these tracks. What do you mean? You know, you just want to go grab something to eat. what are you talking about? You just want to go get a Philly cheesesteak, man.
And knowing, here's another reason why I know it's terrible. The perfectionist that Kobe Bryant is. He's making sure that doesn't see the light of day.
Mm.
He knows. He knows.
Now, that's a valid point you make there.
He knows it stinks.
That's a good point.
So I'm just happy. I'm happy
I'll go with that.
There.
All right.
All right. Coming up next, safety at baseball games. 855-212 aluminum bats and wooden bats.
Mm.
Nets, faces, children, blood.
Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
So yesterday was a day game between the Yankees and the Twins at Yankee Stadium, and Todd Frazier hit a line drive foul that went into the stands and hit a young girl in the face. And the exit velocity, which is always recorded nowadays, was 106 miles an hour. So, of course, everybody quickly getting personnel over there. Mm-hmm. It was a rough moment.
Yeah.
Players taking some time because they saw it. And now the discussion is, and we hope for the best, and I was watching that Yankee postgame show, and they gave an update saying we can only say so much because of HIPAA laws, but the child seems to be okay and is under care at a local hospital. So it seems like it's going to turn out okay. You never want to get hit in the face with a baseball at 106 miles an hour, but could have been worse. type of scenario.
Yeah, parents, jump in front of your kid. How about that?
Yeah. Every situation's different.
I know every situation is different, but they're right there. Everyone should be focused on the field, especially if you're not in a protected area. You're not behind the screen, and there have been discussions about extending the screen, and that came about a couple years ago. I think it was an incident in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know, was it a woman in Pittsburgh got hit? I think I remember that. Yeah. But it seems like this comes up all the time, right. and more netting. And we just mentioned Real Sports last segment. They did a whole story on the netting in Japan and how it's extended mm-hmm. down the baseline. And they also sell these seats that are like no safety seats or something where you pay extra money, but you have to have a glove and you have to wear a helmet that when there's no netting, but to just have the experience. And they're more safety conscious than we are. And the reason why they said that we're not doing it here is people don't want to have the net in front of them.
Yep.
And it's as easy as the language of the law on the back of the ticket. So they put on the back of the ticket, we are not responsible for any injury regarding foul balls and bats that may be broken, and that's it. So they're not liable for it, so they don't care. So Major League Baseball, being the big business that it is, has decided that we don't care because we're not going to be on the hook. And if someone ends up getting hit in the temple and dies in the stands, well, oh well, because they should have known. And I don't see them changing this. I just don't see them putting the net in front of most of the field level because they believe that the backlash of ticket sales and what they could charge for those tickets is now going to take a hit because people's experience is going to be hampered by the net.
Well, you understand the dangers when you sit in those seats. I've sat along the baseline. You know, I've sat behind the net, and you understand you got to keep your head on a swivel, man. If you're at a baseball game, there's a chance a line drive will be head towards your direction, so make sure you protect yourself. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with being able to engage in self-preservation? You know the dangers of sitting there. I mean, the odds are probably extensive, but you still understand you're at a baseball game and there are projectiles that could come your way. So I'm not going to say baseball's liable here. Yes, it's in small writing but on the backside of that ticket, but you should know, common sense should tell you, hey, when someone's at the plate and they're pitching, we got to pay attention to this, okay? Little Johnny, don't worry about the popcorn or hot dog. Let's make sure we're watching what may perhaps come our way.
Yeah, and it is, in 2017, easier said than done because mm-hmm. baseball is not a game that keeps your attention throughout. There's a lot of downtime in between pitches.
Well, during the downtime, look away. Look down at your phone, what have you. But when that the guy's on the bump and there's someone in the batter's box, you should probably pay attention.
Yeah, you're right. I'm just saying that practically there's a lot of people that it just they get distracted and they're not going to be in you there for a long amount of time. Or if you have a kid with you, the kid's running around, you're trying to I mean, your attention on the game. It's just easier said than done. But you're right. If you're going to be there, you have to do everything you can to make sure that you're paying attention to what's happening all the time. And I really don't think that Major League Baseball is going to change this. I don't believe that they are because they don't.
Well,
they're not going to get sued. That's why
they've left it up to the individual teams whether or not they extend the netting because all these parks are constructed differently. So it's going to be up to that owner, that team, whether or not they want to extend it and whether or not the fan base will accept it.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to have a positive impact at all. I can't stand, even though they're the best seats you can have, some of the best seats you can have right behind home plate, I don't like looking through that thing. It annoys me.
Yeah.
And if you're telling me at Yankee Stadium, where those tickets and field level behind the dugout right around there are not cheap,
no.
and you're now going to put a net in front of those people?
Yeah.
No way. Now, the Yankees aren't going to make that decision.
Now I'm afraid to go to a game.
Because
now,
it is.
Because now I'm going to get hit for saying keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and then I'll whap.
Yeah, I mean, damn it.
Right.
Didn't follow my own guidelines.
Famous national radio host.
Famous.
No longer has teeth. Gets comeuppance.
Exactly.
For foul ball take.
I'll be gumming again. You're right. I'll be gumming.
Yeah. You know what seats I like better? Like the second row. You want to call it a loge. You want to call it second deck.
Mm-hmm.
But like just up a little bit. I mean, not talking upper deck, but up in the second deck, first row.
Okay.
That's in behind home plate's great. Maybe a little bit to the left or right is great. That to me is the best seat that you could possibly have. I had a seat, season ticket seat at Shea Stadium, and they had several decks. They had a field box, a loge, a mezzanine in the upper. And the loge box would have been the best, but the mezzanine box, first row that I had, right to the left of home plate, was just a tremendous seat. I don't even like the field level box as much because you're so close that it's tough to get as good of a feel for the game, and you get a little bit of elevation, it's easier to see, personally.
No. Yeah, I hear you.
You're not going to get hit in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, but...
Well, they could hit a foul ball up there and coming straight down if you're not adept at catching. You could get
And
hit.
They're hammering Joe Girardi in the postgame, Yankees manager, about this whole thing. And he was getting fed up. I mean, the guy, you know, he's trying to get this team, and they're going to be in the postseason at this point. They dispatched the Twins. It's just who they're going to play in his wild card. Oh, come on. They're
seven games up.
Seven
on.
Games
yeah, up. Don't jinx them. Ten days left. Don't jinx them.
They're going to be fine. So you're knocking on wood, continually knocking on wood. They're going to be okay. But anyway, so they're just grilling him on this. And he's like, you're making me go down a road here. I don't want
to
go. He's like,
hell am I supposed to do?
He goes, I want everybody to be safe.
Right.
Is that okay? He's like, I want the people in the stands to be safe. I want the players to be safe. I'm all for that. Next question on Severino. Please.
I want everyone to be safe except for you guys out there asking me these questions.
Yeah, we should move the press box right into harm's way so I don't have to deal with this nonsense. I'm crying out loud.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is a weird story in baseball. So Pat Neshek of the Colorado Rockies, he is a reliever, and he loves autographs.
Right.
He's an autograph guy. He likes memorabilia. He collects things. He gets baseball cards, and he gets them signed by his teammates and also opponents. So he actually posted on a message board, sportscollectors.net, on a message board he does this, and complains about how Zach Greinke is the only guy in the history of him being an autograph hound that has said no to him. So he goes and he trashes Greinke on this message board. Goes, I asked him at the All-Star game if he'd sign for me. He said he would. So a couple weeks ago, we played them. I sent over the cards I needed signed. Basically, three league leader cards with Kershaw, Wainwright had already done. Two from 2015 to complete the set. He said no. I waited around for him during batting practice, went up to him, and he totally denied having the conversation at the All-Star game. I then asked why this was a problem. He said, it's because I wear him out. Hard to wear someone out because he's never signed for me. This is the only a-hole in Major League Baseball that has been a turd to me. So he kept going on, and he said that he said I wouldn't even sign for your kid if he asked. He just he was just crushing him. He goes, I'm done with this guy.
Yeah.
So both of these guys to me are out of line. Both of them. One, Pat Neshek, and apparently this is more common practice than people think that it may be. Now, Neshek takes it to another level. He's trying to complete sets. But there's a lot of guys that'll ask players for autographs, star players, for memorabilia signed.
They'll ask them usually for a jersey or something like that, a cap or something, sign this. I'm gonna put it in my auction. I forget there was one NFL player that was notorious, not in a bad way, for this. He would get jerseys from opposing players after each and every game.
Yeah, and I heard, I can't believe I'm going to admit this, but your buddy Michael Kay, I was listening to him talk about this. And
my buddy.
Yeah, you love him, me not so much. But he said that on Jeter's last season, he would spend an hour before each game that he was playing a different opponent that year to sign stuff for the opposing team.
Right.
That this happens a lot, especially when it's a guy like that.
Right.
So it's not an outlandish request is what I'm trying to say. And Greinke, all he needs to do is going to take him 2 seconds. All right, fine, get out of my face. But for Neshek to go on a message board and complain about this like a baby is ridiculous.
Yeah, that was wrong. That's wrong on his part. If Greinke doesn't want to sign the dang thing, just move on. Leave it at that. And you've tried numerous times, and he has abstained from signing, so give up.
Yeah.
It's over. And to whine and bitch and moan about it on a message board, that's the wrong move. Just be a grown man. It's okay. That's what I didn't get.
Well, I think now the whole thing's cooler. Like, all right, you don't have the Greinke autograph on the league leader card where Kershaw and Wainwright signed it because Greinke told you no. And, like, you asked him and he flat out was the only guy who said no. That's the story behind that card now, and that has value because of that. I mean, I don't know. It's a weird story, but Zach Greinke is not known to be a guy who is very polite or friendly with a lot of people.
Yeah.
He doesn't like talking to the media. He doesn't like talking to anybody. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he should have just signed the stupid thing and moved on, but I mean.
But he did, and you've asked the guy, you've inquired multiple times, and he's always rebuffed your overtures. So why continue to go at him?
Yeah.
Just let it go, dude. That's one I didn't get. That's it. It'd be a good story for your grandkids down the line, right?
And to me, the sports memorabilia things, I have to have a personal connection to it.
Right.
So this, to me, is even cooler now because you have a story behind it. Like, for example, I've got a football that's a kicking football that's just, it's now sitting in my garage. But the reason why it's special to me is because I went to a Vikings-Jets preseason game, and the special teams guy saw, special teams coach at the time, saw me standing there in warm-ups in my full Vikings gear, cheering them on like punt return, and he tossed me one of the kicking balls, and I have that, and that's like a cool thing for me. So it doesn't always have to be an autograph or buying an autograph or whatever. Yeah. It's about personal experience.
Yeah. Good little story.
Yeah, man.
And you were a kid.
Yeah.
And Neshat, not a kid.
Right, he plays Major League Baseball.
Yes. Sign your own card.
Gio and Jones with some more Kevin Durant next on CBS Sports Radio.